Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, throughout today, Israel and Hezbollah have exchanged fire. Hezbollah has fired over 130 rockets at Israel, the IDF has said, with the Israelis. They're conducting strikes in Lebanon against Hezbollah. My next guest is a Norwegian physician, Dr. Mads Gilbert, a longtime volunteer for Palestinian healthcare, who's currently volunteering in a hospital on the front line in southern Lebanon. I spoke with him earlier, and during our conversation, we can hear explosions which are happening right outside the hospital. And just to warn listeners that some of the detail in this interview could prove distressing, I began by asking Dr. Gilbert to describe where he was.
I am in the south of Lebanon in a local hospital, which is one of three hospitals in a very southern city, close to the Litani River. This hospital happens to be the southernmost hospital, and there are no more hospitals that are open south of us before you come to the Israeli border. That means the five local hospitals south of the Litani River, they have been all closed down because of Israeli attacks and bombing. So, in fact, we are the first-line hospital. And we are in a small city called Nabatieh. Mm-hmm. And Nabatieh is a city maybe known to the Irish people because I think both the Irish and the Norwegian had UNIFIL, UN peacekeeping forces here through the years, and it's not been much of peacekeeping, actually.
And as you probably know, there are some Irish soldiers at a UNIFIL post quite near to where you are at the moment. So the Irish listeners are definitely tracking what's going on there with intent and with great interest. Can I ask you about the bombings over the last number of days or so and overnight, Hezbollah and Israel exchanging missiles? That's happened quite close to you then. I mean, what did you hear?
Yeah, it's happening very close, actually. And today they were actually bombing inside Nabatieh city. So I think it was the better part of 600 meters away from the hospital compound. So that was today. But the whole week I've been here, it's been around the clock bombing. The very sound of the bombing never stopping. And partially it is the Israeli artillery pounding South Lebanon.
Can I ask you about all of the strikes that we're seeing then? The demands in your hospital must be, there must be constant then. There must be a constant stream of patients in.
It is. And it's very painful. Today we got in two pretty young men from one of the strikes close to us. And one we could not save. He died between our hands. The other one had a facial injury. We managed to do the critical surgery for him. He's alive. He's in the ICU now. Yesterday we had nine patients. Two of them were two civilians from south of Litani River. And I'd like to just tell the story to your listeners. Mm-hmm. It was a teacher. Her name was Hind. And it was a local policeman. His name was Habib, which means the beloved one. And your listeners may be familiar with the name Hind because Macklemore made a very famous song about Hind.
Yes.
Who was a girl who was killed in Gaza. Now, yesterday, we had another Hind who was a beloved teacher in the village where she's living in southern Lebanon. The Israeli attackers had a drone. They targeted a motorcyclist. They hit him. He was hit and he was severely wounded, if not killed. And the local people came running to help him, as good people do. The drone circled the bow and fired at and hit the rescuers, as they do all the time. Today, they killed eight paramedics in the south. And yesterday, they actually targeted these people, and we got in nine patients. Hind was alive when she came in. I tended to her with a team. Mm-hmm. She shouted all the time, "Don't take off my wedding ring. Don't take off my wedding ring." We had to put her into anesthesia, resuscitate her. She had massive injuries, and she actually died within an hour from a a massive brain injury. I cannot go into the details. Despite all the efforts of this very, very brave little hospital, she was killed by the Israelis. The other guy, the young policeman named Habib, had the same type of head injury. He was unconscious. I intubated him. We gave him anesthesia. We resuscitated him. And we transferred him to Saida, which is the next northern town with a large university hospital. He died upon arriving in the hospital. So these two decent civilian Lebanese people were killed mercilessly by a drone pilot who sees everything he shoots his drone arms at. He can tell the difference between a child and an adult, a man and a woman, a civilian and a fighter.
We don't have an Israeli spokesperson on this program listening to you, but I have done enough interviews on this program with Israeli spokespeople and people from the IDF, and I know they would say that they don't target innocent people and that there are casualties of war who are innocent, but that's just war. That's what they would say, I'm quite sure.
I'm sick and tired of that response from the Israeli spokespersons. How on earth can you claim that when you have killed at least 40, 45,000 people in Gaza? When you have killed 14,000 children in Gaza, when you have bombed 12 universities and the better part of half of the hospitals in Gaza, when you keep bombing and attacking hospitals in Lebanon as we are speaking, how on earth can anybody believe a spokesperson claiming that they are shielding the civilians when indeed the civilian society is the pure target of the same attacks?
Can I ask you then, because I've seen videos of yours complimenting and lauding the bravery of young paramedics and healthcare workers, it's quite clear then that it's unsafe for healthcare workers in South Lebanon or anywhere in Lebanon at the moment. Is that your belief?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The last numbers from the Minister of Health in Lebanon, if they can be trusted, without also asking the Israeli spokespersons, more than 100 healthcare workers have been killed in Lebanon since the 7th of October. In Gaza, the official number from the UN OCHA and from the Minister of Health is, I believe the last number was 995 healthcare persons killed in Gaza since the 7th of October. So we are talking about more than 1,000 doctors, nurses, medical students, paramedics, all types of healthcare workers who have been killed by the Israeli occupation forces in Lebanon and in Gaza. So it is indeed very unsafe to be a healthcare worker. And don't forget that healthcare workers, as well as civilian policemen, firefighters, civil defense personnel, are protected under international law because they are supposed to do their important humanitarian work in a protected way.
Can I ask you why you're still there? Because I'm sure listeners of ours will say you are extremely brave, you're extremely courageous, but you are also risking your life by being there, I'm sure.
I just want to do what I think is right. And when Dr. Ghassan Aboussita, who you may know, called me the other day and said, we need you in Lebanon. I packed my little field gear and I went back to Lebanon 42 years after my first mission here in 1981 and 1982, which is a natural thing for me to do. It has nothing to do with heroism. I just do what I feel compelled and obliged to do in order to be a decent human being. The heroes in this situation are the local healthcare workers and the staff I work with at this a Lebanese hospital in Nabatieh are the heroes. I mean, they really, we all live in this little hospital like a family. They have their children here. We're on call night and day. We eat the meals together and we stand up every time the new loads of wounded are coming in. We do the best we can for the wounded. And in a way, as I've said before, I think these people are carrying the moral compass of the world, both in Gaza and in Lebanon.
And Dr. Aboussita, we've spoken with on this program as well. But that sentiment that I put to you, finally, that sentiment of why are you there? Why don't you get out of harm's way? It's been expressed by the family of Irish soldiers, Dr. Gilbert, who are at the UNIFIL post there. They're on a peacekeeping mission, of course. But some of the family members have been on the station today saying, asking the government, please take them home. They're in harm's way. I mean, you're not far from that UNIFIL post, are you?
No. We're not far from that. And we know that I think it's about 10,000 UNIFIL soldiers who are basically unable to uphold their mandate from the UN because also of the Israeli occupation forces and the aggression. So, yeah, we're not far away from there. And there is enough bombing here. And I want to make the best out of life. I'm not a daredevil. I'm not a hero. I'm not seeking danger. Well, you heard that?
What was that?
That was an explosion.
That seemed quite close.
It was quite close. It was very close. The curtains are shattering. All the windows in the hospital are open. We're just having a little sort of afternoon break now because we had a fairly demanding caseload in the early afternoon.
Are you okay there? Day.
I'm fine. I'm fine so far. I want your listeners to understand I don't do this to risk my life. I do this because the people here are risking their lives.
Can I ask you, that seemed quite close. I'm concerned for you personally now. How close were those blasts to you?
I don't know. 200 metres.
Are you okay to continue for 1 second or do you want to finish?
Absolutely, I'm okay.
What's the protocol when there's a blast like that in a hospital or a healthcare facility? Should you not go for cover?
You know, I've been working in with solidarity medicine, as I call it, since 1981. And I always follow the simple rule that the locals know best. So they tell me if we are going to go down in the basement, I, of course, quickly rush to the basement with them. If they are cool and this is a kind of blast that they don't think is dangerous for us, I stay cool. And they know the difference between the type of shells, how close they are, and if we are in danger in the hospital. So, you know, I trust them and I trust their local expertise. I'm just going a little bit closer to the window now so you can hear the drones. Hang on.
Oh, yes.
You hear that sound?
Yes,
like a sort of a
is that regular?
Yeah, that's all the time. That's a drone. Those are the Israeli drones hanging over us all the time. Some of them are surveillance drones. Some of them are armed drones made to kill. And these drones are everywhere. And if, you know, anyone who has been to Gaza will know that these drones are keeping people awake at night.
Yeah.
They're around 24 hours. And it's a new type of warfare.
Dr. Mads Gilbert, I really thank you for your time. Thank you for joining us in the program.
Thank you so much and have a safe afternoon.